Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 274 shows and counting. And we're moving right along here. I want to welcome all you new listeners that's tuning in this evening. I hope you enjoy the show and keep spreading the word to help out our animal friends in need out there. And, you know, keep spreading about, you know, how you can help out on the social media sites. You know, call our state legislators in your state. And you can reach them by this number that I'm giving you, area code 202-224-3121. During the week, during business hours, you get connected, you want to speak to your state representative or your state senator. If they're not there, please leave a message. And after hours and weekends, you can still, call, leave a message, or you can also contact them by email, letters, make appointments to be with them, or fax them your information. But every effort out there counts, everyone, because these animals out there, that they can't defend themselves. They can't speak out. They can't call the police. They can't make police reports. So we have to, do what's right, in helping making their lives and futures better and strive for it, because I love hitting those victories. Even I can't take credit for it, but when I'm involved, I just want to not stop there, but keep going, because it's an inspiration to all of us and a positive impact. Because if we do nothing, nothing changes. So please do your part, everyone, and take action is the key. Teamwork is the key also. Because the stronger team players we got, the stronger victories come in. And they're so well worth it. We're not spinning our wheels. But I want to go on with the show. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me. And it's Marty Oakley. Giving her a big shout out. She's got some hot topic shows, everyone, on TS Radio Network. If you would like to help join her, and because she's out there getting her voice out, and she's the one where I first started TS Radio Network, and we were supposed to only do two shows, and it exploded, and we just kept going. And I was her co-host the first four or five shows, and then went to her host. And then back in 2018, I went on my own Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. I kept the name, and she helped me out. So big, huge thank you to Marty Oakley. She is the producer and host on TS Radio Network on all her shows, elder abuse, guardianship abuse. I mean, the list is there. So check her out. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and search Marty Oakley or TS Radio Network, or also on the PPJ Gazette on the side search bar. You can also put in Marty Oakley or TS Radio Network. You can also put mine in there, Moises Carey for Animals. And you could, all these shows are recorded live every Thursday and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So you can go back and listen to them 24/7 and share them. And there's a lot of important, you know, information on there, awareness. You can go back and get and see how you can help out, because I stand up for all the animals in need out there. So everyone, please do your part. Let's see. I know 2020 is over, halfway gone, and this COVID-19 is backing us, a lot of us, up for, you know, a while. But we cannot forget about these animals, the voiceless and the helpless. We have to keep making positive changes for them, because COVID-19 is, there's only so much we can do. We hope it disappears. Just, you know, keep the faith and let the fear disappear, because it's terrible what's going on out there. But we got all these other issues, too, that are critical. And please, we cannot forget about them. But anyway, I'm going to go on with the show. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals. And I'll be taking calls later in the show. If you'd like to call in, just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And all you returning listeners, a big shout out to you too for all the support you give me, and you know, with all these shows for the animals, because I like what I do is I multitask and try to help wherever I can help out, and use all my social media sites, Facebook and LinkedIn and Pinterest and Twitter, to help out the ones in need. So we want to keep going, everyone, and do our part, be a positive impact in this society. I want to go ahead, and we have a guest coming on again this evening. It's been a while, and I told her, I said, we can't wait this long again. But she's from Buster's Vision Nonprofit. She's a board member, Don Stanford. She was also on TS Radio Network, Marty Oakley, show 119, Voices Carry for Animals. So if you want to go back and listen to that, you can at any time. You don't have to rush, just to be at your own convenience. The topic tonight will be the importance of animal education in the lives of our children. And if you want to, please visit the Facebook page, Buster's Vision, and also bustersvision.org. And check out the website, because, you know, this, all this information, how you can help out and join in, because the more of us, and Ray Bittner, the strength in numbers, that's one of my favorites that she keeps, you know, when she had mentioned on as a former guest, because it's so true. But I want to bring on Don Stanford, Buster's Vision Nonprofit Board Member. How are you this evening? Welcome back.
So glad thank to you, have Debbie. You back I am. On. Well, thank you. I am so glad to be back on. I'm doing fantastic. And I just want to say what a pleasure and an honor it is to be back on your show.
Oh, thank you for your inspiring compliments. You know, I do my best out there, you know, with this radio
absolutely
platform.
Absolutely, I know you do. You know,
and I can't say it's spinning my wheels, because I'm not. You know, I've seen so many, you know, great victories coming through just on, you know, different
right
shows have had. And, you know, can't take credit, but when you're getting involved, it means something. I mean, it means to keep going. Don't stop here, but the, you know, keep them efforts coming in, taking that action, spreading the word, because that's what we need out here is awareness and education and just help the animals out so much. But you want to go ahead and tell the audience, kind of refresh their memory on Buster's Vision, How did that come about? You know, this nonprofit, and I know it was to bring awareness into the global communities to help save animals worldwide, but go ahead and give a little story on Buster and how this came about. Go right ahead, Don.
Okay. Buster's vision was founded by a phenomenal lady named Bobby Evenson, and it came about because she – let me see if I can get this straight in my head. It's been a while since I've told this story. There was a dog, a chocolate lab, and this was due to dog breeding. There was a chocolate lab born, and a little boy named it Buster Posey after a famous baseball player, I believe Buster Posey was. And Buster Posey had some type of health condition. I believe it involved something with his eyes due to, you know, breeding, because, again, puppy mills and the breeding and the overbreeding can cause, excuse me, the animals to have diseases, and a lot of these puppy mills and backyard breeders, they're in horrible conditions. They overbreed, you know, the females, and then when, you know, they're done with them, kind of just toss them away, and the animals that they have, you know, the sick animals that they have that nobody buys, either end up discarded and heartlessly discarded, or they get dumped at shelters, and then their chances of adoption are slim to none because they're ill, they're diseased, they have things wrong with them, et cetera, et cetera. And so Bobby Evenson, in honor of this dog, Buster Posey, started Buster's Vision nonprofit for that reason, bringing attention to, you know, backyard breeders and puppy mills, kind of bringing that out into the public's attention, because some people don't know about that, that that even happens. And she, you know, like all of us, wanted to make a difference in the lives of animals and bring this attention to people to, you know, to not, you know, there's, you know, adopt, don't shop. You know, there are so many animals in shelters, and shelters are overcrowded and overrun with animals that need adoption. And so, you know, she wants everybody to focus on adopting animals, and rather than buying them from, you know, breeders, backyard breeders, or puppy mills. And I believe that's how that got started.
That sounds about right, you know, and what she's doing. So she's been on the show several times before.
Yes,
I'd like to have her back on again. What she's doing is so amazing, what has started, you know, just from where you're helping one animal, but it then leads into tons of them, thousands, you know. So it's a positive impact on what you all you are doing. I mean, making one animal, you know, even for one animal changing its life for good is a big plus. So when it's more than that, and you're talking probably going into the thousands when it, you know, hits, like goes from a city to state, and more people pick up on it, and it's victories is happening. You know, making animals comfortable.
And
that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The more, you know, the more people that get involved, the better, of course. And like you always say, it's teamwork. It's about teamwork. You know, I am not a one woman show in this. And with that being said, if I could, real quick, I would like to give a shout out to our Buster's Vision's volunteer admins, because without them, Buster's Vision doesn't work. It doesn't run. It doesn't move. It doesn't get victories. It doesn't do anything. You know, Bobby founded it, which, you know, bless her, that is awesome. But it takes teamwork to make things move and to make things happen.
That's right.
And to make positive changes happen. And we have the best team of volunteers ever. I love each and every one of these people, and I love working with them. So, of course, you know, we have admins actually all around the world. It's not just here in the U.S., but obviously we've got Bobby Evenson, who's the founder and president of BVN, and she's in California. Then we have Charlie Sandner, who's the vice president of BVN and our web developer, and he does all our technical stuff, and he, to me, is the backbone of Buster's Vision. He keeps, you know, everything going from the technical end because, again, you know, without that, we wouldn't work. So, and he's in Oregon. Then we have our volunteer admins. We have Katie Fox. She's an admin and the project manager of Buster's Vision Nonprofit's main Facebook page, and she is in North Ireland. Then we have Ronald Bach, who I believe is in the Netherlands. Then we have Christine Perez, Eustaquio, and Judy Lim, who are in the Philippines. We have Terry Holt, who's in Australia. Then in the U.S., we have Sherry Miller Ledford, Tina Dedando, Lisa Tucker Desjarnet, Nancy Morin, and Terry Ambrose, who is a writer for BVN. And then we have Angel Hawks, who is a moderator for our group, Animal Rights Petitions and Adoptions on Facebook. And I'd like to give a special honorary mention to a lovely lady named Anne Marie. She's in South Korea, and she has done so much work for Buster's Vision in the past, and she also has her own cat rescue over there in South Korea called Shiloh Sanctuary. So without those people, you know, Buster's Vision wouldn't be up and running and keeping going and, you know, getting the victories and getting the word out there and, you know, educating people on things that happen to animals. So those people are invaluable to Buster's Vision.
Yeah, and a big shout out from me to them too, because teamwork, when the chain reaction, you know, everybody doing their part to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
Facebook runs totally day and night, you know. And we have these people all over the world, you know, that are helping. You know, when we're sleeping, they're awake and helping, you know, and vice versa. So, you know, it's continual. And, you know, without those people, you know, we wouldn't, like I said, we wouldn't be going and up and running and moving forward and making positive changes. It's, you know, it's hard work, but, you know, victories are possible. And I would like to say that I've heard in the past, people say, oh, petitions don't work. Oh, yes, they do. They do work.
Yes.
Because I've seen them work. And if you are signing petitions from legitimate petition websites, now there are scam petition websites out there all over, of course, you know, because there are those individuals who, you know, just want to take your information or, you know, they don't want or they don't get the petitions, once they're done, they don't get the petitions into the hands of the people that they're supposed to. So there are a lot of scams out there, so you do have to be careful. But if you're signing legitimate petitions and sharing them from legitimate petition websites, oh, yes, they do work, and they do have an impact, and they do make positive changes, because if everyone gets together and makes their voices heard, becomes a voice for the voiceless, that can't be ignored for much longer. You know, it can be ignored for a while, but the more of us that get together and make some noise about it, then, you know, something has to be done about it. It can't be ignored.
That's right. Agreed. You know, the stronger and better we become, the stronger the team players. You know, you don't have to put all your time into it. You make time and where you're comfortable, and you get your voice heard, because our voices do matter out there. You know, if we're silent, nothing changes there, Dawn. I mean, we can't close our eyes and our mouths and our ears and just look the other way and not do anything when we must do something. Because them animals,
absolutely,
they cannot defend themselves by all means.
No, they can't.
And so we have to step up to the plate and do something. And there's a lot of great, a big shout out to a lot of great advocates out there, animal advocates that's doing their part, that are relentless. You know, I like I like that
there
word
are.
Because that's what I am. I'm relentless. I don't give up.
You absolutely are.
Yeah, if we give up, we automatically lose for the animals. And we don't want to be losers for the animals. We want to be winners. We want to hit
absolutely.
Them victories nonstop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so. And, you know, the victories are encouraging. The victories are what keep you going. When you see a victory, you know that, like you said, if you're involved, you know, you can't take the credit, but if you're involved, you know that you helped to make a difference, and that encourages you to just keep going, to just keep going and keep going and keep going. And I, you know, I won't ever give up either. As long as I'm, you know, alive and breathing, I will never give up trying to help animals in any way I can. It's just who I am. It's in my blood, and it's deeply ingrained in the very fabric of my makeup. It's what I'm about. So I will never give up either. I'm right there with you on that.
That's right, Animal Warrior Sister. That's what I want to hear. You know, we cannot give up. That is the no-no.
Right.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
We keep going and keep the victories coming, because that's where we're striving for, better lives and futures for our animal friends in need. Because they deserve
absolutely.
To live comfortably, you know, in peace and happiness and free from fear and abuse and neglect and cruelty.
Yes.
You know, that's totally uncalled for. There's no excuses for it.
There isn't.
You know, I don't. Any excuse in the world would not be okay for any kind of abuse out there, whether it's a child, an animal, the elderly. No, it's not
exactly.
Acceptable.
I was thinking about that earlier. I totally agree. You know, children, elderly, animals. You know, even the disabled who can't necessarily speak for themselves in certain situations.
That's right. They're voiceless, you know, helpless, defenseless,
yes.
and innocent. So there's nothing out there, you know, an excuse. Oh, I had a bad day, or this happened, that happened. No, there's no excuses for it. You know,
no,
they
there's
have
absolutely
to control
no
their temper tantrums, and
yes.
and not take it out on, because that's what they mainly are, is temper tantrums. They're not. There's something's
in a lot
not
of
going
cases,
right.
Yes.
Them.
Right.
Yeah. And it's sickening, but anyway,
yeah,
Don, you wanna, we want to get, let's see, this topic of animal education, which is so important in the lives of our children out there. I mean, I think, you know, maybe you might agree, more, you know, visits, you know, to the animal shelters with them. I've seen some photos on social media where, you know, these children were reading books to the animals in the shelter. I thought
aww.
That was so adorable.
Wow,
yeah.
How cute is that? That's great. I love it.
Yes, I'll try to send you some, you know, articles about that. You would love it. But, you know, educating them, because that means so much. I like, you know, would love to see more in schools, because animals are part
yeah.
of our everyday life out there, whether we're around them or, you know, see them or whatever. But we're all on this earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it, you know. So
yes, absolutely.
And they deserve, you know, the attention and education on with children. That's where it starts. So it's usually when you're a child, and you're around the animals,
yes.
and you have pets at home. That's a good, you know, good thing right there, because a family member, a furry family member, they get used to. So they, you know, go through life, hey, we're showing animals dignity and respect. And there's a lot of children still out there that's not, you know, that you don't want a child going up to a dog or a cat pulling its ears or tail or, you know, beating on it.
Yes, I actually have a story about that. Similar to that I was going to share with you, involving a dog and a child, which kind of, you know, reiterates, if I could say, why, you know, it's important to educate our children about animals and, you know, the way they should be treated and the way they should be cared for. So I guess I'll just start with that story. Many, many years ago, I was at a gathering, a get together with a boyfriend of mine at the time. And it was a birthday party or something. I don't know, so long ago, I don't remember the event, but that doesn't matter. So I was there, and the family, they had a family dog, and it was a male, and the dog was not neutered. And they had a little boy. It was a young boy. I don't know how old he was, but he was very young, very young. And he was maybe toddler, maybe 3-4 years old, somewhere around there. And so we're in the middle, you know, we're all in the living room. There's some people in the kitchen and we're just, you know, having a good old time. And this little boy starts pulling on the dog's testicles. Can I say testicles on the radio?
Oh, no.
He starts pulling on the dog's testicles, and the dog is like wincing and trying to get away from him. And the little boy just keeps tugging and tugging on this poor dog's testicles. And nobody is doing anything. Nobody is saying anything. His parents aren't saying anything. It's like nobody really noticed or was paying attention, I guess, you know, because it was in the middle of a party. Or I don't know if that was the norm. I don't know what, because I didn't know these people very well. But this little boy is doing this to this poor dog. And so, of course, I took it upon myself to nicely and gently to the little boy. I said, "Sweetie, I don't think you should be doing that to the dog. It hurts him. He doesn't like it. It's uncomfortable for him. And, you know, you don't want to hurt him. That's not the way we're supposed to treat animals. We're supposed to treat animals nicely." I said, "Maybe you could just kind of pet him on the head like this." And, you know, the room was full. Everybody was talking. And when I said that, and I was just talking to the little boy, and I wasn't loud, but when I said that, it's like a hush fell over the whole room, and everybody just stared at me. Even the parents just stared at me. Nobody said anything mean to me, but nobody said anything to the little boy either. They just all stared at me. And so I just sat there, and I just kept talking to the little boy, and I showed him, "Here, gently pet him on the head like this." And so he's petting him on the head, and he's petting him a little too hard. He's a young boy. I'm like, "No, gently like this." And I take his hand, and I show him gently. So he's gently petting on the dog. And I don't understand, you know, things like that happen all the time. You mentioned, you know, pulling on an animal's ears or pulling on their tongue, right, or their tail, or doing whatever they're doing to them. Now, here's what can happen. Here's what often happens, okay? What does an animal do eventually when it's being tortured like that? It bites. It bites the child, because that's only a natural reaction. If somebody was doing that to you, you know, what would you do? You would defend yourself eventually, you know, and that's not wrong, you know. Okay, self-defense, you know, everybody accepts that. But when an animal chooses to do self-defense, then it turns into, "Oh my gosh, that dog bit my child." Then, you know, it's a family dog maybe, or a neighbor's dog or whatever. Then the dog gets either dumped at a shelter or put to sleep because it bit the child. And it was just defending itself. That happens so often. And I see so many stories about that. And it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. You know, after that incident, I really hope that family worked with a little bit boy a little bit more. You know, that might just have been an isolated incident in that case, in that, you know, it was a party, and you know, everybody was having a good time, not really paying attention to the kid. But they should have been paying attention to the kid. You know, you have a young kid in your house and an animal. You need to be paying attention to what's going on with them at all times. But, you know, like I said, that could have been an isolated incident, and, you know, when, you know, in their own home, when they're not having, you know, a gathering or a get together, you know, maybe they did, you know, focus on showing the little boy how to treat and be nice and be respectful to animals. I don't know. But still, you see so many stories about, you know, what I just talked about, you know, the animals getting dumped at a shelter or put to sleep because they bit a child and they're only defending themselves. It just is heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. And everybody blames the animal when really it's not the animal's fault. It is, you know, that lies, I believe, in the parents of the child and the guardian of the animal. That's where the responsibility lies, in teaching that child that that's not okay and how to treat animals.
That's right. The respect. I mean, it's, you know, these animals, they, you know, can't, like we was talking before, can't speak up for themselves. So if they're in pain or, you know, in distress, they will know it. So, but
yes,
they have to tell us and then, you know, go from there. But anyway, Don, I'm having some audio problems here.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me, I'm going to see what's going on here. I'm going to try to bring you back on this evening with something going on with Blog Talk. Okay. I'm sorry this happened. I got to look into it. But,
that's
because I definitely want to get you back on. So let me do some work here and I'll pop you back on. Okay. So kind of be on the, let's see, I got your number here. That way I can call you. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, no.
Does anything ever go smooth? Right?
No, of course not. That would be too easy.
Okay, yeah. Let me call you back, okay? And I'll get you back
on. Okay, sounds great.
Good
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.